I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver-lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Somebody say amen. Welcome, and for those for the first time that are coming out to the Covenant series, it's always better now than never. I believe that now is the time. They call it the day of the salvation. There's no better time than now. So if you felt like you missed out this week, guess what? You're here this evening, and give all praises to God. He's ushered us in to another Sabbath. I want to say thank you to the visitors, the members that have supported this Covenant series. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I've been blessed. I have been blessed, and we are praying this evening that the Holy Spirit will continue to do best what he does best, and that is to bless us in order that we can magnify God's name. Brothers and sisters, I want to report last evening, we were aware that Hurricane Matthew was in the Caribbean, Bahamas, my home place, place of birth, where my mother resides and other relatives. Well, this morning I got wind of information from her, just a text. The island is completely out of power, flooded, but it was one of the most horrifying, terrifying, traumatizing experiences for my mother. She said to me this morning, I have endured many hurricanes. This has been the worst. So to hear that, I'm just grateful that God has been able to preserve the people, the nations. Let us continue to pray for our church, our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Hurricanes. See, the devil loves disaster, and he takes advantage of inclement weather too. For example, Sabbaths, the churches will be closed. It's flooded. So let's pray for these nations that are going through this time of need. But most importantly, I do know they need prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to lift them up where they belong. So, brothers and sisters, let us continue to pray for those who are less fortunate than us. We are fortunate because when God gives us life, guess what? That's all you need. Life is all you need to create wealth. I say that at the beginning because, brothers and sisters, through this series, we've understood that this relationship is the most valuable possession that you will come into contact with in your lifetime. Somebody agree? This relationship with God is the most valuable experience you will ever have in your lifetime. If you don't believe that, it is my desire that the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight. Bow your heads as we pray. The message entitled this evening, The Appointment. The Appointment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've granted towards us. You've given us another day of life. You've extended your mercies far beyond than what we deserve. Thank you for your word. We ask this evening that it gives us life anew, that we feel the power, your word speaking to us, literally coming alive in our minds. Oh, Heavenly Father, touch our hearts. Every individual that is here, when they leave here, let them say they've been blessed, and it was the Lord that did the blessing. And on the way down, touch me too. Thank you. You've been with me in the preparation, and I ask that you take over in the proclamation. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The appointment. Yesterday evening, Deal or No Deal, the entitled sermon as we looked in 2 Kings chapter 21 from verse 1 through 4, speaking about Naboth. If you remember last evening, the elements that were discussed, the key points were Naboth's obligations, his opportunities, but most importantly, his obedience. We learned last evening the importance of when God gives you a possession, when God gives you not just an inheritance, but a heritage, there is no compromise and there is no deals to be made with the world, particularly Satan, who wants to strip your inheritance out of your life. Brothers and sisters, no matter what opportunities may seem responsible, reasonable, guess what? At the end of the day, God has placed upon you a call, and he doesn't want you to compromise. And like Naboth, when King Ahab wanted to come and just buy his vineyard, brothers and sisters, Satan wants you to sell your most priceless possession. That is the vineyard that God has placed you in for the responsibility he needs of you the most. He needs you to be one of his faithful stewards in the vineyard. That is one of the agreements that comes along with this covenant when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 4 to 17. When you found it, say amen. For those that are still turning, say, go on, preacher. Or say, go on, so I can keep going. I'll take that as a go on. And verse 4 says, and it came to pass, what? That night, that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of where? Egypt. Even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of what? Cedar. Verse 8 says, now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be what? Ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine whom? Enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a what? Great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a what? Place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of the wickedness afflict them any more, as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Verse 12 goes on, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I shall chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not, what? Depart away from him, as I took it from whom? Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. Brothers and sisters, within this chapter, within this book, we can recognize, I'm sure, a few of the same elements. This covenant that God wants to perpetually establish with the people of Israel over the generations. Throughout the week, we were able to cover the course of the what? The Edenic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. We've even touched on signs of the covenant. But this evening, in this chapter, within this book, we have a closer look at one of the least interpreted or explained, theorized covenants, because some folks don't consider it to be as significant. But this is the Davidic covenant. This is the covenant that has been made with whom? David. David, for those who know, was a man after the Lord's own heart. We know him as the shepherd. But now is the time where God has called him to lead a nation. The kingdom covenant regulating the temporal and eternal role of David's rule of David's posterity. In this chapter, it secures in perpetuity a Davidic house or line, a throne, and what else? A kingdom. It was confirmed by divine oath. If you look with me right now, quickly to Psalms chapter 89. Turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm tonight, we're going to flip a little scripture. Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89, from verse 30. Psalms 89, verse 30. The word of God says here, if his children forsake my what? My law, and walk not in my what? Judgments. If they break my statutes and keep not my commands, then will I visit their transgression with the what? The rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from them, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is so good, because when we're not faithful to him, he is still faithful to us. You're going to see that in the Davidic covenant. Because if you know the story of David, oh, he was a man after the Lord's own heart. But the question I want to ask you tonight, was he immune to sin? No, he was not. He was not immune to sin. This covenant that was confirmed by divine oath, as we see in Psalms chapter 89 from verse 30 to 37, and also it was renewed in the New Testament to the mother of Jesus, Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. Turn with me this evening. The homileticians call this sermon a textual sermon. So we're going to jump around this evening. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. When you found it, say amen. Amen, Lord. Now we can go. Luke 1, verse 31 to 33. The word of God says here, right here, right here, right now. And behold, thou shalt what? Conceive in thy womb and bring forth a what? A son. And shalt call his name what? Jesus. He shall be a great and shall be called what? The Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his whom? Father whom? David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. It is fulfilled in Christ as the world's Savior and as Israel's coming King. That's what makes the Davidic covenant powerful, but that's what makes the entire covenant that God has established with you and I. He had to send someone from his kingdom down here to this kingdom in order that prophecy could be filled, in order that you and I could actually partake in the established covenant. You see, him sending his son, the Davidic covenant, is what made all the covenants before, the covenant made with David, a reality. Because now, God is not even talking about setting him up in a kingdom. He's saying, I'm going to establish with you, on your throne, a lineage where the king of kings shall come and rule and be your savior. David had the godly ambition to build. Now, brothers and sisters, when you go to chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, we understand in this scripture a few things. The incongruity of allowing the ark of God to remain in a temporary tent-like tabernacle while he himself lived in a luxury of a house of cedar seemed to call for the erection of a suitable permanent building to be the center of worship. You know, brothers and sisters, I don't know, but guess what? This Pastor Gomez, Pastor Langley, I don't know about you, but one of the pet peeves, Pastor Soto, one of the pet peeves I have when I walk into a church is if the sanctuary's not kept right. It reflects on a relationship with God, how we think about him. How could David sleep in a palace and God is tabernacling in a tent? Brothers and sisters, some of us, we have beautiful homes. We have clean homes, nice stuff. But when you start to put priority over your home as a greater priority over God tabernacling with you, brothers and sisters, it's no longer a dwelling place. David had a palace, but he didn't have a dwelling place. Jesus saw now, not only did David have an assignment, but he had a divine appointment. His divine appointment was to create a sanctuary in order that God may be able to dwell. Now, was that a covenant that would be fulfilled in David's generation? Well, let us continue. To Nathan the prophet was revealed that God intended David to build something more enduring than any material edifice. David's house was to be his prosperity, and through them, his throne and his kingdom were to continue forever. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. God wants to give you and me a special appointment. Let me tell you why. This week, we remember God wants to control your destiny. John 10:10 says, what? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God wants you and me to have an abundant life. So posterity and prosperity is included. God wants to put you in an appointed place in order that he may dwell in you, tabernacle with you, and enrich, brothers and sisters, your posterity. He wants to create in you a spiritual lineage. You know, there are some people that when they walk into a room, all they bring is pain. Or there are some people, wherever they go, they remind people of pain. But brothers and sisters, when I walk into a building and what I want my lineage and my legacy and my enriched heritage to be is that when people remember me, they remember that I loved and served the Lord. I remember Sister Ann had asked me on Sabbath, and it may seem as a formality, but what you're doing is you're stating your heritage. They asked you, you know what a biography is for, Pastor? You know what a biography is for? A biography is serious, you know. When someone asks for my biography, you're asking for my heritage. And in that biography, you know what sounds so good, but the next time I come to your church and you hear me and come to preach, before your preacher introduced me, my brother, listen, all of that is great. Got the degree here, got the degree there. But at the end, when they say, oh, he has a passion to serve Christ, he loves young people, he loves evangelism, that's the heritage. Everything I do before that, God only appointed me there in order that my heritage can be him working through me. That is what God wants for you. That's what he wants for you, Jennifer. He wants to work through you. The main features of the covenant in this passage are included from verses 7 to 12. First, we see here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, from verse 7 to 12, the promises of the Davidic covenant include the following items. First, David is to have a child. That's the posterity part. That's the lineage. If you were here this week, you have to understand the covenant that God wants to establish with you is not just for you. He wants to establish it with generations after you. The greatest responsibility is those you come into contact with and impact. Brothers and sisters, you don't want to be remembered as a grouchy person. You don't want to be remembered as a party pooper or a miserable person. You want to be remembered that every time someone comes into contact with you, you had a smile on your face, or that person loved the Lord, or he always wanted to talk about Jesus. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. The greatest responsibility you can also give or even have is to pass on the knowledge and the responsibility of taking your family, your loved ones, your friends to Jesus. The greatest responsibility we have are our children. And it's amazing. You know why God gives us children? In order that we can undo the mistakes through them. You can't really undo the mistakes through you, but you can undo it through them by teaching from your mistakes. He promises David a child. And you know who that child was. Who was that child? Solomon. Yet to be born, who shall succeed him and establish his kingdom. 2, the son, Solomon, should build the temple instead of David. And we wonder why, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he was immune not to sin. And let me tell you something. If God has anointed you, we know David was anointed. But if you remember from this covenant at the beginning of the series, brothers and sisters, we understand from the unconditional perspective that the covenant never changes, but unless we fail to comply, we shall receive the wrath of God. David felt the wrath. His posterity was cut at a certain point because he's disobedient to God. Guess what? If you keep on being disobedient, ignoring God, guess what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? God is going to watch you, wait with you. He's still going to love you and me, but he's going to wait for your child to fulfill the heritage through your lineage for his purpose. That's powerful, because when they say the sins of a father will be passed down for four and five generations, brothers and sisters, you know those sins can be broken with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because the God that I know, the covenant he made with you and me, if he can't use you, he gonna use someone that's close to you. And God is so good, he can even take a sinner like me or a sinner like you, and even if we're not willing to serve him, he can still use us as a mouthpiece for a short time, and we'll still lose the blessing. So you gotta be careful. You've gotta be careful. The third point was that the throne of his kingdom would be established forever. One of the other features in this covenant, the Davidic covenant, was that the throne would not be taken away from him, whom? Solomon. Even though his sins justified chastisement. Even Solomon couldn't get it right. It's amazing. But you see, God keeps a promise. It's amazing. God keeps a promise. Even when we don't want our lives to produce posterity and prosperity, God is still going to work through us anyhow. Because he got a plan. And we understand where that Davidic covenant led to. At the end of the day, despite all the worthy chastisement, God still had to choose that lineage in order that Jesus, the King of Kings, could be born. For those that do not know, and if you read the book of Matthew, first chapter, it gives you the lineage from David. Because of time, you don't have the time to go through it, but go and take a look at it. It will show you the lineage from the Davidic covenant straight up to the birth of Jesus Christ. So where the people question if Jesus was from a lineage of kings on this earth, yes, he was. You know why? Because he established those kings in the first place. But God is good. And brothers and sisters, the fifth main feature in this Davidic covenant was that David's house, throne, and kingdom should be established forever. I said it last night. Our relationship with God, and when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, eternity begins now. So forever begins now. So the kingdom that God wants to establish, and that kingdom is coming, that heavenly kingdom begins now. He wants to establish that kingdom through you. You see, brothers and sisters, you know, men, when they want to find a queen and they have no dowry, remember I told you at the beginning, typically a binding contract or a binding marriage in the days of yore included the groom presenting the bride, so the parents, the parents of the bride, a dowry before you could. What can you provide for my wife? Let me tell you something. In society now, you know, a lot of folks want to look at your credit card, or, you know, what kind of car you drive, if you have a nice house. But let me tell you something. I may not have no money. I may not have the fanciest clothes. I may not have the finest degrees. But guess what? You know what? I promise my lineage. I can promise them a mansion that's greater than any mansion on this earth. I can promise them the best life insurance that any person can promise you. I can promise them the world's greatest pass to traveling all the galaxies in the world. I may not be able to give them all the money that I can give them now, but I can tell them one day, even the streets you walk on will be gold. You see, brothers and sisters, what I plan to pass on through my posterity, what God wants you to pass on through your inheritance, is something that is so rich you can't put a price on it right now. Your kingdom. Men, when you find your queen and she is your queen and you are her priest, that's your world, that's your kingdom. God is coming to you like the way he said to David, I'm tired of going to and fro. I want to tabernacle in your heart. God wants you to create a sanctuary. He wants you to build a temple inside you, inside your heart. Circumcise your heart in order that he can dwell and keep and fulfill that covenant with you. That is his desire. The greatest gift of all. All the promises in the world. All the promises in the world. But the promise that Jesus has had for you and I, oh brothers and sisters, it's been in the Word of God this whole time. When I open up Scripture, I can't help but always see an established covenant. The way they say that every Scripture, the central theme is focused on salvation. Well, I would like to think that every Scripture, oh brothers and sisters, this entire Word of God is a covenant. He's showing you and I the promises that he made to generation before generation. And even then, he had to reestablish this covenant, you know. You know, every now and again, when you create a will or you create a binding contract, you have to go and rehash it. You know, there are certain changes in our lives, certain elements, you know, different policies that change. You have to go and redraft. Even God had to go back and redraft with the Israelites in order that they can maintain the faithfulness that was needed in order that through them, through their prosperity, he could enter this earth and save you and me. Could you imagine what could happen if we would just choose to be obedient? Do you know how quickly God's heavenly kingdom, the New Jerusalem, can be established here on this earth? But he's waiting for some of us to still fulfill our greatest appointment. Oh, brothers and sisters, the church is great. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, it's wonderful to come and hear the word. Oh, it's great to hear the singing and see the children's programs and read the Word of God collectively. But guess what? All of this is great. But at the end of the day, if we don't make an individual decision to allow Jesus to create in us a tabernacle in order that he may dwell with us and create posterity and a rich lineage, then it's all for naught. That's what this is about. Is that an individual decision to be the tabernacle? The covenant that God has always wanted with his people is to dwell with us
All he wants to do is spend time with us. You know, men, when the women, they nag you, you don't spend time with me. But I'm always here. But you're not looking at me. You're not listening to me. Well, Jesus has some of these complaints too, you know. The only difference is he has not divorced you. He's not walked out on you. He's not cheated on you. He's not lied to you. All the other things that come along with broken relationships, even though we want to break this relationship, he's a guy that just don't get it. He loves you anyway. He's coming back. Always keep coming back. He's always coming back for you and me. Always reestablishing covenants. Line of David was and will always be a royal line. By the term throne, it is clear that no reference is made to material throne, but rather to the dignity and power which was sovereign and supreme in David as king. The right to rule always belonged to David's seed. By the term kingdom, there is reference to David's political kingdom over Israel. This kingdom was spiritual only in the sense that it was given to David by anointing of God's prophet. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God, in order to appoint you, he's got to anoint you. Listen to me now. In order for God to appoint you, he has to anoint you. Many of us, we want to set ourselves up in society where we believe that God wants us. But guess what? If your appointment has no anointment, you should not be there. There's no God in it. God wants to use you in this world in order that he can fulfill his promise and he can intentionally help you to fulfill yours. He can't do it unless you allow the promise of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, to come in and help you make that happen. If it were up to you and me, well, I don't know where I would be if I were a pastor. I don't know. I could wake up in the morning and I don't know where I would be the next week. I can't tell you that this is a life's choice or life's career. Because guess what? The only thing that's keeping me doing this is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing. Question is, what is keeping you or what is keeping you committed to Christ? What's keeping you, enticing you to want to allow God to tabernacle with you? What's encouraging you to erect a tabernacle in your heart in order that it can become a dwelling place for Christ? You don't have to worry about assignments and appointments in society. You don't have to worry about being the boss or having the best paying job or being in control. God is going to give you all the control you need. God is going to place you in the right position. Because guess what? If he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. Be ready. Be ready for your appointment. God wants you to take on your spiritual appointments. Yes, some of you are doctors. Yes, you are musicians. Yes, those are your professions. But guess what? You put God in it, he can use it to erect a sanctuary in this world in order that people can come and tabernacle with Christ. God wants to use you in order that people can come to hear, to church, to hear his word. If they can't make it here, God wants to use you based on your relationship you have with him to encourage other people to have a stronger relationship with him. Why is it that I want to tell you about Jesus, Pastor? The reason I'm telling you about Jesus, because I only want to tell you what he's done for me. I would love to sit down and hear what God has done for you. The appointment that God has for you is a royal one. Remember, brothers and sisters, we were created in the image of Christ. We are all citizens of the royal court, for we are all children of the King. God wants to give you your own assignment. Call it your throne. He wants to give you prosperity and ensure not only you, but as we said it yesterday with the Abrahamic covenant, brothers and sisters, he wants the generations after you to be blessed. If anyone curses you, they will be cursed. You don't got to worry about those who want to come and transgress against you. God is on your side when you allow him to tabernacle with you. In short, brothers and sisters, because we're going to wrap this up. Because tomorrow morning, God is going to rain down the power of the Holy Spirit on this place. But this week we've been able to sum up that good old teachings of what it is to take this covenant and call it an old covenant. But for me, it's a new covenant. The covenant he made with Abraham and David is the same covenant he's making with you and me. The same one. Different time, different era. This evening, he's asking you to accept your appointment. Tomorrow morning, I will take the latter portion and combine it with the entitled message in the morning, the New Covenant. You don't want to miss it. But this evening, God is speaking to you. He wants you to be mindful of your appointment. God has a plan for you. If you accept him as your Lord and Savior today and every day and claim it as the day of salvation, brothers and sisters, your lives will be enriched and you'll have the greatest legacy you could ever have. The greatest legacy you can leave on this earth, my sister, is to serve Jesus Christ. The greatest is to serve Jesus Christ.
When we look in the Bible, we understand that even though God made these covenants, many times we just didn't believe, or they believed it was too good to be true. They felt the ramifications of their decisions. God wants you to remove yourself from those ramifications. He wants you to accept him as his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to make a decision. It ain't no jumping around it. You can avoid it, but guess what? Eventually, you will have to make that decision. Eventually, you have to decide whether or not I will erect a sanctuary for God to tabernacle with me or not. This evening, he's placed upon your heart that same desire. If tonight it is your desire to allow your hearts to be a dwelling place, to allow God to create in your hearts a sanctuary where he can be at home, in order that he can give you a divine appointment in society in this last days, in order that he can use you not only to enrich your legacy, but also his legacy, God wants to expand his kingdom. And he needs you to do it. If that is your desire, will you stand this evening? If it is your desire to accept this covenant, just another sweet promise that God has left with us, it is my heart's desire that this evening, the Lord will make your heart his tabernacle. Bow your heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. We are so grateful, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity you've given in order that we can hear more from you. There's so much we want to hear, so little time. But teach us to find more time in the day to build our relationship on you, to create and erect a sanctuary, a tabernacle where you may dwell. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've kept you outside long enough. We've placed priorities and erected different things in our lives, whether it be our relationships, our careers, but we've not erected a tabernacle for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, let our commitment to you be solid. Let it be one this evening that we make that is contrite and one that is convicted with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask for that power because only the helper and the comforter will give me the intentional desire to want to serve you. So many distractions in the world. The minute we step out these doors, there's so many temptations. But I ask, dear God, that you remove it from these people. Make these people your people. Remind them that they have a divine appointment in your court as children of the Most High. Bless them this evening. Bless their families. If it is your desire that you wake us up in the morning, let the first thing that we do is praise you and remember this covenant that you've established with us. Bring us back tomorrow and speak to us again. Move like you've never moved before. That when we leave here, Heavenly Father, lives will be changed, hearts will be touched, and some folks will never be the same, all because of your power. So we expect you to do it again, and you can do it again, and we're going to hold you to it. But at the end of the day, you're still going to get the praise, you're still going to get the honor and the glory. Oh, Heavenly Father, that's all we've got tonight. Take it if it is pleasing in your sight. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. Happy Sabbath. Hope you have a wonderful, restful evening. Please come out tomorrow. We hope that you're able to bring family and friends. Let them get a taste of what God has been doing here for us this week. May you enjoy the beginning and the remainder of your Sabbath. God bless.